I know I talk a lot about following the two commandments. It's because without them, nothing really matters. Jesus didn't invent the two commandments. They were known. But here it was, another quiz for Jesus. Which commandment is first overall? That was the question, and Jesus answered the question by saying what everybody already knew, but they weren't expecting it. First, do you know the Ten Commandments? Anybody can recite them? I know I can't. I can't do it. I could go through them, and I know that historically the Ten Commandments are important, notwithstanding that, you know, 10 years ago a judge wanted to put them a monument, and there are monuments of the Ten Commandments in courtrooms and everything, and then there was big Supreme Court cases and separation of church and state, and oh no, the Ten Commandments inform everything because our founding fathers used the Ten Commandments, and it was all, well, it was all for show. I mean, maybe some people don't agree with that, but all of that, when you're following the commandment to love, or how about just to respect, like a human commandment to respect and be kind to one another, we don't need the monument of the Ten Commandments to change everything. Incidentally, those first monuments that wanted to be in the courtrooms around there, and were, some of them in the 50s and in the 60s, they were commissioned for what? They were commissioned as advertisements for the movie The Ten Commandments. And so there were these large Ten Commandments that were placed all over so that people would go see a movie. And then they became sacred, these advertisements. Anyway, that was before, after Jesus' time. But most of us haven't memorized the Ten Commandments. I know in church we're supposed to, and even I went through the Awana clubs, and we memorized a lot of scripture. I still know a lot. I can tell all the books of the Bible. I can, you know, say all 66 books. I can recite scripture left and right. I just don't remember all of the Ten Commandments. I do know that when they're written, they're part of a sort of a legal system. And each one of them is not necessarily so much about this is your religious duty. It's this is what you shall and shall not do. And they are legal things. That's why the courts kind of works. But bearing false witness against your neighbor, yes, it's lying, but really, it's bearing false witness. You shall not get up in court and under oath say a lie about them so that you can get their property. That's where that comes from. Honor your father and your mother. We teach our children, you have to honor your father and your mother. And it's a good idea, right? It's a good idea to be kind and listen and learn from your mother and father. But that commandment isn't about that. That commandment is about when you are older and your parents can no longer care for themselves, you will care for them. That's how that works. So, parents, you can tell your kids, you have to listen to me and obey me. I'm your parent. But if you try to use the Ten Commandments, you're twisting it. And kids, remember that when you're older, the commandment says, take care of your parents. That's what that's about. Jesus didn't talk about any of that. He responded with the two. Which commandment is first overall? First, it's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And that's where it's the great Shema. It's the affirmation of faith that begins with Hear, O Israel, that parents are supposed to repeat and teach their children, put on their doorposts. That's why I say put it on your forehead. You wear something there. And I don't think anyone really had it tattooed on their forehead, but it's one of those things you would touch your forehead. You would touch the door to remember this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then we go to Leviticus. It's not a really popular book, but there's some good stuff in there too. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Anyone know that one? When a foreigner resides in your land, you shall treat them with respect, with kindness, as if they lived in your land all the time. Not with suspicion or with walls or anything like that. But Another verse in Leviticus 19:18. This is the one that Jesus came up with. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. No one could respond because Jesus was giving them exactly what they had been talking about since they were kids. He gave it to them in plain talk. These were the two. Everything else hinged on them. Everything else hinges on them. And then the question, who is your neighbor? Jesus addressed that another time. Everyone's your neighbor. You don't get to decide that someone is not your neighbor. I don't like them. They're not my neighbor. I don't agree with them. They're not my neighbor. We're all neighbors. And we fight. And we argue. And two big celebrities that fight and argue. You got James Woods, genius, super conservative guy, says awful things about people that are opposed to his views. We got Alyssa Milano, part of the Me Too movement, actress, who's the boss? Remember all of that? Charmed. They both got a lot of money, and they both have horses. So what happens is Alyssa, in the fires in Chico, California, and all over California, was like, I don't know how to get my horses out of here. What do I do? James Woods responds, if last resort, you paint your phone number on that horse and set them out. They will find their way out, or should find their way out. But then provided some resources and gets all of the Twitter followers, let's find a way to make this happen. And so horses are safe. Alyssa Milano said, everything with a heartbeat is safe. My home is destroyed. So sometimes people who have such strongly opposing viewpoints can come together with something good. Wish we could do more of that. I really do. I wish that we didn't demonize someone else. And this is not one of those, the election's over, so let's all get along. Because there are serious issues that we need to deal with. And there are serious problems that people with opposing viewpoints just can't see eye to eye. And it gets to a point where you're like, well, if your viewpoint says that my friend is going to be deported, well, I can't support that viewpoint, and I really can't be in a relationship with you because that's just toxic for me. Can we find something else to work on? Maybe. And we're a long way from being reconciled with all of it. But we can start with the two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we love our neighbor as ourself, we don't do the garbage. We may disagree, but we don't even start with the opinions that someone else is less than, or someone else is not worthy, or someone else is not my neighbor. So those two commandments, they inform everything. Love God, love others. So you may have heard those before, but now I'm going to put those two commandments, we're going to put on our two commandments glasses, I guess you can say. You can pretend to put on your glasses so you see everything through that lens. And I want to take a look at our vision statement, our mission statement, our ONA statement, and look at them through that lens and see how does it fit? How does it fit with love God and love others? The vision statement, a caring community of Christ. Loving God and loving others, boy, it's right there. Community, Christ, yeah. A people of prayer and action. Well, if you're loving God and loving others, prayer is an important thing, centering yourself, getting ready, but actually doing too. I think that fits in there. Everyone agree? Maybe we don't have to have hands raised, but if you see something glaring that doesn't work with that, shout it out. A beacon of hope, justice, and peace. Well, if you're not religious, it's still got the loving others being a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And if you're following the Christian viewpoint here, we're doing that because we love God. Is that too far of a stretch for people that don't believe? Sure, but it's not too far of a stretch when we take these two together, loving God and loving others, all about love. So I think that the vision statement fits. It fits with our love God, love others, our two commandments glasses. How about the mission statement? This one we worked on a lot about 15 years ago. And you know, let's see. Oh, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I went through this one with the congregation, and I sort of picked it apart, and it wasn't really fair because we worked so hard on that, and I wondered about each word. But this was put together And some of the words were added, taken away, just like when the Bible was put together and people were trying to make it work. So every word in here was well thought out. In response to God's love in Jesus Christ, love God. We seek a right relationship with God, love God, and other people, love others, through service, through service, doing for one another, attending to one another, loving God and others at the same time, in a caring community, just like the caring community of Christ, of fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. Fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. That's caring for each other. That's loving each other. That's being inspired by one another and being inspired by God. Take off the glasses, put on the glasses. It still works. It fits the two commandments. Yay. Our open and affirming statement was not put together without some controversy, right? We had 10 months of discussions, of house meetings, of disagreement, of a vote that wasn't 100%, it was about 90%. And it's something that even to this day, sometimes we have discussions, battles about. And I know that when I got here, I do know that St. Paul's put together the ONA statement quickly because after a long time of battling, and even, 5 years before this, I don't know if you remember the history there, there were almost fist fights about it here at St. Paul's and our good German stubbornness, almost fist fights about the ONA statement, about whether we were going to do anything about it. But we got to a point, and when we voted on this, not everyone was happy. But when I got here, I think a lot of people that were just sort of waiting there hoped that I wouldn't say anything about it. We did that. Let's put it on the shelf and leave it over there. And I didn't do that, right? I talked about it. I said, this is a part of who we are. This is a part of our congregation. We have talked about this, and I know we don't all agree on it, but it's an important thing. And if we're going to follow who we are as a congregation, this is one of the things we follow. Let's put on our love God and love everyone glasses. Together, everyone, we share the joy of discipleship and service to God. Love God for all who desire to join in the life of our church. Love God, love everyone. God created each of us. Love God. As recipients of God's grace and love, love God. Unearned and freely given, love God. We are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Look at it, two commandments right in there. We celebrate every person as a child of God created in God's image. Love God, love everyone. We welcome people of every age, everyone. Economic status, everyone. Ethnic origin, everyone. Gender, everyone. Gender identity and expression, everyone. Marital status, everyone. Mental and physical ability, everyone. Political affiliation, everyone. Sexual orientation, everyone. Are some of those controversial? Yeah. Look at the ones about gender, about sexual orientation. Those were the ones that caused the biggest hubbub. I mean, that's the right word. The largest discussions and the most anger. And, to the point today where people still have some issues with that. But I don't know, maybe 5, 10, 15, 100 years from now, those won't be the thing, but political affiliation will still be one of those. At St. Paul's, yes, we are, call it a purple church. We got blue and we got red and we got everything in between, and we got people who are mostly blue but a little bit red, and we got people that are mostly red and a little bit blue, and we find ways to work together. And yes, we argue about things. And yes, we all ignore things that we don't like so much about our political affiliation. And yes, we compromise. And yes, sometimes we get it wrong. But in some churches, it's not allowed. I know in some churches, the whole sexual orientation, gendered identity and expression isn't allowed to happen. Here, you get to be who you are. But political affiliation, some churches, that's also just not allowed. You get to have a mind. You get to have an opinion. You get to follow the two rules, the two commandments. Love God and love one another. If you're looking at your political affiliation, if you're looking at any of the ways that you express yourself, if you're looking at any of the ways that you live your life, and you can't put in love, it just doesn't fit because all you see is anger and hate and division, well, then it's time to reevaluate those things that you do, that you think, and evaluate them through the two commandments. It's Veterans Day Sunday. It's Stewardship Sunday. And every Sunday, every day we have the opportunity to live out love for God and for one another. So, let's not be quiet about it. It's easy to be quiet about it. It's a good historically German way to do things, right? Yes, we are St. Paul's, and let's keep it a secret. We're the greatest kept secret among churches in Downers Grove. We're trying to change that, but let's not be quiet about it. Let's take the amplifier of who we are, of this loving God and loving everyone, and turn it up past 10 to what number? Turn it up to 11. Let's take the volume. Let's not be quiet. Let's turn it up. Amen.